Amen, Brother Jim. God bless you. Thank you for leading us this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to take them and find Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Your Eternity is Certain. Your eternity is certain. As we are studying God's Word in the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings, we have been paused, so to speak, the past several Sundays in Revelation chapters 14 and 15, because chronologically, John is overviewing and also previewing what is to come. He has paused temporarily. Now, just by way of reminder, I want to show you a couple of diagrams this morning that have served us well in the past. And the first is a very simple diagram of end time events. And both of these diagrams today are compliments of Dr. Charles Ryrie, longtime professor of Dallas Seminary. But you can see this morning that here is the cross of Christ, here is the rapture of the church, and the return of Christ after 7 years, and then 1,000 years of Christ's earthly reign, and then beginning eternity. Notice that only one of these events is in the past. That's the death and resurrection of Christ. All of the rest of these events, the rapture of the church, the 7-year earthly tribulation, the return of Christ, his 1,000-year earthly reign, and eternity, all of that is still to come. All of that is in the future. And seeing this second diagram, focusing in, zooming in, if you will, on the last half of that earthly tribulation, we've seen the wrath of God manifested or demonstrated in 7 seals and 7 trumpets, and we will begin to see next Sunday 7 bowls. Now, again, all of those symbols may not mean much to us as it relates to seal or trumpet or bowl, but it is how God chose to demonstrate his wrath on those who rejected Christ as Savior, or how he will demonstrate his wrath during the second half of the earthly tribulation. So I hope and pray that those diagrams can give you a reference point as to where we are chronologically. Now, again, remember in the last half of the tribulation, we will see what is known as the unholy trinity. The unholy trinity of the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are doing their best, will do their best in wreaking havoc on the nation of Israel and on the church, most especially during that last half of the earthly tribulation, to the degree that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." That's what the second half of the earthly tribulation will be like. But as we look this morning at a preview of eternity, I want you to understand today that your eternity is certain. And here's what I mean when I say that. You will either give God worship in heaven for eternity, or you will receive God's wrath in hell for eternity. There are no other options. Every person in the room this morning, man, woman, boy, girl, male, female, young, old, blue collar, white collar, as well as for those who are joining us online, your eternity is certain. You will either give God worship in heaven for eternity, or you will receive God's wrath in hell for eternity. There are no other options. And so if you have found Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1, I invite you to stand this morning. Follow along as we read these eight verses together, either in your copy of the scriptures or on the screens behind me. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1, John said, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of gold. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.' And after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful that you have given us an opportunity to worship you for eternity. Father, my prayer today is that anyone within the sound of my voice would make that decision personal in their lives. And they would not receive your wrath in hell for eternity. But that you would convict them of their lostness, give them faith to believe, and boldness and courage to call on the name of the Lord to save them. Father, speak to us this morning through your word. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Your eternity is certain. Look there at verse 1. John says, "Then I saw another sign." Well, that's language that we have heard him use previously. And if you were to go back to Revelation chapter 12... and verse 1, he said, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And if you were here when we were looking at Revelation chapter 12, I shared with you that I believe that this woman, this sign, first sign, was the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel who gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob. And then a second sign is in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3. Says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. And we don't have to wonder, we don't have to guess about this second sign, because in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 12, John tells us, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. And so John has used this language previously, and back in verse 1 of chapter 15, then I saw another sign in heaven, and it was great and marvelous. And a part of that sign, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. If you remember that diagram that I showed you just a moment ago, the 7th seal corresponded with the first trumpet. And the 7th trumpet opens up the 7 bowls. And we'll begin to see next Sunday morning in Revelation chapter 16, the 7 bowls of God's wrath poured out by these 7 angels. But in verse 2, he says, I saw something like a sea of glass. Again, the first option this morning for you in your eternity being certain, is for you to worship God in heaven for eternity. That is the first option. John says, I saw something like a sea of glass. And if you've ever seen the waters that have been pristine and smooth like glass, that are also peaceful and at rest, that perfectly describes the individual who has trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. That describes the individual who will worship God in heaven for eternity. That describes the individual that is highlighted here in verse 2. And those who have the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number for his name, they were standing on the sea of glass having harps of God. Well, who were these people? And what is this beast and his image and his mark and his number? Well, if you were here for Revelation chapter 13, you remember. And so we go back for just a moment. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, John says, then I stood and on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Well, this is the beast of the sea. This is the Antichrist. This is the political leader who will come to power during the second half of that earthly tribulation. And he will be empowered and receive his authority from the great fiery red dragon, the devil, Satan. But this is the beast that is being spoken about here in Revelation chapter 15 in verse 2, that those who are standing on the sea of glass, they have victory over the beast. And they also have victory over his image. Back in chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. The false prophet deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power. The false prophet will be granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So the false prophet is going to command the image of the Antichrist to be created in somehow, some way, whether it's technology or whether it's sleight of hand. The image will speak and will speak on behalf of the great fiery red dragon. But not only does this beast have an image in verses 17 and 18, he will also have a mark and a number. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. But these individuals who are standing on the sea of glass, they will have overcome the beast. They will have overcome his image. They will overcome his mark, overcome his number, overcome his name. How is it that these individuals have victory? We'll turn back one more time to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. These tribulation saints, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. If you are here this morning, in order for you to have victory, in order for you to overcome the beast and his name and his image and his mark and his number, in order for you to give God worship in heaven for eternity, you've got to trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord. You have to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, and the word of your testimony, that you can say personally, I admitted that I'm a sinner. I recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place for my sin, and I have called on him as Lord and Savior of my life. If you've done that this morning, then you, like these individuals here, could stand on the sea of glass at rest and at peace with God in heaven. And you will be giving God worship in heaven for eternity. Notice also what these individuals are doing. The end of verse 2 says that they're having harps of God, and not only are they playing these harps of God, verse 3 tells us that they are singing. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So they're singing these two songs about God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel and God's faithfulness to the church of Jesus Christ. The song of the Lamb. People ask me regularly, often, Brother Richard, what are we going to be doing in heaven? Well, I at least know that we're going to be worshiping. We may be doing other things, but at the very minimum, we're going to be worshiping in song. In these two particular songs, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. If you're here today and you have never called on the name of the Lord to save you, or if you're joining us this morning online, if you have never called on the name of the Lord to save you, I invite you today to do just that. I invite you to do today what I spoke of a moment ago, admitting that you're a sinner. For we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and believing that God demonstrated His own love for you, that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died on the cross in your place for your sin. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Brother Richard, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. You don't know what I've been doing. And you're absolutely right. But God does, and the scripture is still true. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you, this morning, make sure that your eternity is certain and that you will be giving God worship in heaven? But there's another option. Notice back in verse 2 that John says, I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. Mingled with fire. Which then takes us to verse 5. And after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. So again, John is giving us a preview of that which is to come, a preview of eternity. And your eternity is certain. Make no mistake about it. And out of the temple, verse 6, came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. So we've seen these seven angels previously, back in verse 1. The seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And so now in verse 6, these seven angels come out of the temple. And notice their purity as demonstrated with their clothing and with the golden bands. And then in verse 7, then one of the four living creatures, we've seen these four living creatures previously, symbolic of all creation. And that one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. So there in the temple, these bowls often used to carry offerings and incense. But this is not the first time that we have heard about these bowls. Would you turn back to Revelation chapter 5 for just a moment? And to some degree, just a little bit of, oh, by the way, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense. And then listen to this, which are the prayers of the saints. And so now you have in Revelation chapter 15 in verse 7, then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. So these bowls are the prayers of the saints being poured out as the wrath of God on any and all who reject Christ as Savior and Lord. And so I want to make the connection this morning, and I want to be abundantly clear. Brothers and sisters, please know that your prayers matter. Your prayers matter. Our Father in heaven can hear your prayers. Your prayer for the salvation of that loved one, your prayer for the repentance of that adult child, your prayer for relief from financial hardship. As you and I pray according to God's will, God has said to us in His Word that prayer is His plan to accomplish His purpose. And so please know that prayer matters. And so keep praying. Keep praying for your loved one. Keep praying for your adult child. Keep praying that you will be able to honor the Lord with your finances, because prayers matter. Verse 8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Yes, this smoke is from the glory of God and from His power, but we also know that where there's smoke, there's fire. And back in verse 2, I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And fire is seen from Genesis to Revelation as a picture of God's judgment. And so your eternity is certain. You will either give God worship in heaven, or you will receive God's wrath in hell. Both. For eternity. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Your eternity is certain. Your eternity is certain. There are only two options. And so I have to ask you this morning, where will you spend eternity? Will you spend eternity in heaven giving God worship? Or will you spend eternity in hell receiving God's wrath? Today, you have the opportunity to make your choice for Christ. Today, you have the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord and save you. And so if you are here this morning and you have never put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, in just a few moments after I finish praying, Brother Jim is going to come and he's going to lead us in a time of commitment. And I'm going to be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front, and if today you would answer that call to salvation, if you would make sure that your eternity is going to be in heaven giving God worship, I want to invite you to step out on one of these aisles, make your way here to the front. Say, Brother Richard, today I want to make sure that my eternity is in heaven. If you are here this morning, you've already put your faith and trust in Christ. I rejoice with you. I celebrate with you. I'm thankful for you. And I would encourage you to take the message of God's Word, the good news of the gospel, and share with anyone and everyone that God puts in your path. Your eternity is certain, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone in the room will either give God worship in heaven for eternity or receive God's wrath in hell for eternity. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, this morning, if you will answer the call to salvation. Answer the call to put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord. As I said a moment ago, after I finish praying, and Brother Jim is going to come and lead us during a time of commitment, we'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And if today you would put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, I'm going to invite you to step out of one of these aisles. Come here to the front. Share that with me. Share it with Brother Ronnie. Let us celebrate with you. Let us counsel with you. Let us pray with you. If you're here today and God is leading you to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church, you've been visiting as a guest, but now you're ready to make that formal commitment to church membership today, we would invite you to come. If you've never followed through in believer's baptism, but God has spoken to you this morning, that's something that you need to do and need to do soon, we would rejoice with you and we would invite you to come today. We want to celebrate these decisions as you publicly respond to God's word. And that opportunity will begin just after I finish praying. Father in heaven, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for your word and its faithfulness in speaking to us this morning. I pray that we would allow your spirit to have his way in our lives and in this place over these next few moments during this time of commitment. Thank you, Father, for the faithful and attentive listeners today. May you bless them, Father, for hearing from you. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Jim comes to lead us, Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. We'd love to welcome you as you come.